Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It is Valentine's Day today. Oh my goodness. Wonderful.
And in case you forgot, you better go get a card right now and some candy.
Or whatever. I mean, yeah. You don't have to do candy,
That's true. You
can do a card.
Bubble gum or something. I don't know.
This is not the day for jokes like romance, you know, that's the dream.
And you know, Marriage it's hard. Valentine's Day is hard
clock.
For some people.
No, that's true.
It is. It's very hard. There's all these expectations of, you know, roses and candy and all that kind of thing.
Or if you don't have a Valentine and you think everybody else does, and, you know, this is a tough day for some folks. So, yeah, let's don't forget about that. But anyway, for the rest of everybody, happy Valentine's Day. And you know, this is a taped program because we're doing our marriage intensive, which sold out. And a lot of folks wanted to get in. The next one that we're doing is
in D.C.
D.C.
And it's in July. And so you can call today, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And also you can go to newlife.com and, you know, register there. But you don't want to miss out. It's such an incredible time of learning and encouragement, as well as, you know, it kind of is difficult for some people. I don't want to, you know, that doesn't sound very encouraging. But you know what? If you're going to have a good marriage, it's going to take some work.
Yeah. And so if you're wondering what's all the fuss about because you're so miserable, well, maybe, you know, that's the place that you could come, and we would love to help you there because we've helped it's just such a blessing to be able to help so many people that have, you know, they've struggled in the marriage maybe 4 years. I'm going to go right to the phones here. I'm going to talk to Terry from British Columbia, Canada. Listens on Sirius XM, channel 131, and that's always on at 1 p.m. Eastern, and that would be 10 a.m. Pacific. Terry, how you doing today? What's going on?
Pretty good, and you, Steve?
Doing all right.
Right on. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a little bit of a scenario. A brother, 10 years older than me, he's into pornography, does some inappropriate things. I mean, he's got a family that's growing up now. One of them, his daughter is married, and we're just concerned about the grandkids now.
When you say we, who is we are concerned about the grandkids? Is that we, like just you, are concerned about them, or who's concerned?
Yeah, well, there's kind of a group of us working with them. There's some abuse still going on with his daughter, and so we've
approached what kind of abuse? What kind of abuse?
Sexual abuse.
With his daughter.
Right.
Has he been reported, Terry? Have you guys been in touch with the authorities?
Not up till this point, no. I mean,
okay, well, that would be
the next step, but
it definitely is the step to take. That's how you start with
now,
that.
Now, what is the reason that nobody has intervened for her? Well, and, of course, for the grandkids. Why hasn't anybody notified the authorities? Just curious.
Well, I guess that's just kind of in the process now. They're finally had enough of it, and
no, but I'm just saying, you didn't just find out about it. Why hasn't anybody thought that was the the thing to do? Just curious.
Yeah, I don't actually know. I guess maybe fearful of it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll give you some help right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Terry. I'm so very glad that Terry has called us. And Terry, this brother of yours, you're aware that he's still involved with his daughter who has children. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, she's married to a guy, and her husband has taken action, and it made my brother and his wife very angry, and so they've went and kept phoning their daughter, and now they have her on, and her husband is just devastated.
So you're saying the husband is devastated, and that's because there's ongoing sexual abuse of the daughter or the grandchildren, or what are we talking about here?
But Terry, as you bring up fear of what might happen if you report, I can actually understand that. It's not uncommon to be afraid of what will happen if the authorities are brought into the picture, especially if for whatever reason this adult daughter is not acting against her father, possibly. But such strange dynamics can come into play when there has been sexual abuse from a parent to a child, and there can be something called learned helplessness that occurs, where the victim can't even act against the perpetrator, can't act on her own behalf to protect herself, and possibly has lost the power to be able to protect her own children. And sexual abuse is so insidious, it tends to be passed. The perpetration of it tends to be passed from one generation to the next. So it's when people like you, Terry, need to stand up and do for the victim what she possibly cannot do for herself. And there are consequences that you may have to face as his brother. You may have to face his anger or the anger of the family, and he will have to face the legal consequences of his action. But especially with these innocent grandchildren now vulnerable to him perpetrating against them, you need to be one of the people to stand up for protection. And I'm so glad to hear you've had enough, but we need to act quickly to be able to stop this kind of perpetration, this abuse in its tracks.
But what do you think about that? Well, I see that he has hung up.
You know, one of the hardest parts is to do the right thing sometimes. Like you just said, Alice, they get into systems where this is just what we put up with. And actually, when he started the call, he said that his brother had been in to some inappropriate things. So even the language, like, this is not inappropriate. This is just flat out wrong. And after counseling with so many people who have been victims of childhood sexual molestation and abuse, you want somebody to be their champion. You want somebody to do the right thing, report it, stand up for them, so that it doesn't continue. And he has every right to be concerned about grandchildren or anybody else. And it doesn't matter that he's mad. You still have to do the right thing. And I'm hoping that the son-in-law, because it sounds like he already is reporting that. But if anyone's listening now that knows of something that is happening, please do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Call your local authorities. They will take care of it. It won't be like, sheriff comes in and...
You can call anonymously.
Yes, you can. You can call anonymously, and then they just go check it out. And, if somebody gets mad, I would rather risk the adult being mad than the child to be victimized again.
Yeah. Becky, you and I were, before the program, we were talking about a war hero. Mm-hmm. And who was willing to risk his life because other people needed it.
Yes.
And when asked, why are you here? one of the gentlemen that he was trying to rescue said, because you're here.
Right.
Well, why should we, like a warrior, and it is a war. Mm-hmm. Satan is at war. And boy, anytime he can kill a child or destroy a child, he feels like the victory is his. Why should we be there for them? Risk our own discomfort, retaliation on the part of the abuser, because those children
yes.
are there.
Yes.
And so you may never, ever be on a real live military battlefield, but you're on a spiritual battlefield, and Satan is out to destroy children. God mm-hmm. creates children. Satan hates for beautiful, wonderful children to be born. He loves to destroy the handiwork of our God, to mess it up. No wonder we all face so many challenges. That's what Satan wants for us. It's a fallen world. We're not in the Garden of Eden. So I'm challenging every person right now. If you know of somebody that is being abused, at least make an anonymous
right.
phone call to say, I worry about the children in this home.
Right.
I don't think things are right there. To me, that's doing the next right thing rather than doing this thing that we call enabling evil.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever enable evil by sitting around and doing nothing. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, you call us. We want to help you. Let's go to Lori, Raleigh, North Carolina, also Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hi, Lori. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing okay. What's going on?
Can you? My husband, I call him looking at something he didn't need to be looking at. I was taking a nap, actually in the same room with him, and I was turned away from him the other way, and I said, well, what are you looking at? He goes, oh, nothing. I'm just looking up some things. I said, what are you looking at? He goes, well, I'm actually looking at something I don't need to be looking at. And I just
okay.
said, well, you know, do you not know how that makes me feel? It doesn't help my self-esteem whatsoever. I even mentioned that to him this morning. I said, it doesn't help my self-esteem knowing
well, also,
that you're...
Yeah, and it destroys any kind of connection or potential for intimacy between the two of you.
And it's been years, actually, since we've had... you know, intercourse.
Mm. Really? All right.
Yeah.
So, what's the question for us?
I don't know how to let him know how serious I am about him getting help, because I heard you say to one caller, say, if you do this again, then I will do this. And I'm thinking, well, what do I need to tell him that I'll do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but also maybe a better way is the other thing I said, which was if you care about us, if you care about me, I want you to do this. And if you do this, all of these years
uh-huh.
of no sexual intimacy can be reversed and we can get back to a place where we haven't been in a very, very long time. That would be pretty exciting to see happen for you guys.
Absolutely.
I have a question. Well, I have a question. Do you remember if there was an event that occurred that kind of kicked off this pattern for your marriage?
Yes, we moved in with my mom from Florida, and my
mom that'll do it.
Yes, she literally would say things like, oh, my goodness, people make such a big thing out of sex. Oh, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Well, there you go. I mean,
uh-huh.
go ahead, Alice.
Lori, how did those interactions with your mom affect you in your intimacy with your husband? Did you start pulling back from him as well?
No, not really. But he would sit there. And I would say, he'd say, well, I'm going to bed. I was like, well, you know, do you want some company? Just kind of whisper in his ear. He goes, No, I'm kind of tired. And then I would come in there a little bit later on, and he'd be in there watching a movie or something. And I'm going, you said you were tired.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were tired. I thought you'd go straight to sleep, but you're just sitting here watching a movie. Okay.
So what should she do, whether he does anything or not?
Well, my first question, Lori, is are you still living with your mom?
No.
Okay. And then my next question, you know, one of the things, I've worked with couples over the years that this has occurred, actually, different reasons. That's why I asked you what the impetus was, like what started this whole thing off. It becomes a pattern. And then it's kind of that awkward phase of how do we reconnect? We haven't even, you know, done this thing in, you know, 20 years, and now we're just supposed to be all into each other. And it's just this reconnection of the relationship. Now, if he's not dealt with his porn issue, that's step one. He's got to deal with that because
exactly.
there's some recovery that he's going to have to do. So, you know, he needs to go to Every Man's Battle. I think maybe Restore would be a good one for you, too. And I know Steve always hates for us to just say go to a workshop, but, hey, it works. The other thing I think that could be helpful is initiating a reconnection of the relationship from, you know, we talk about this at Intimacy and Marriage all the time, about finding how you connect playfully or, you know, just re-energizing that connection, because it sounds like there's this big cavern between the two of you. And I don't know if that sounds helpful to you, Lori, or is there some other variable that you haven't talked about?
It really would. It's just the finances of being able to make it to that.
Okay. So let us see if we can find scholarship money, and maybe there is a way that it can happen even when we think it's impossible. In the meantime, I'm going to send you the Mediterranean Love Plan, which has all of these ideas of connecting. You know, one chapter, it's all about talking. And another chapter, it's about doing some things together rather than just going home, sitting around, watching TV, waiting for somebody, you know, to fall asleep. And so I'll send that to you and hope that maybe that could make a difference and bring some life back into the relationship here. Alice, anything you're thinking that would be helpful for them to do?
There's just such a pressure for us to accept that pornography use is normal. Everybody does it. It's not that big of a deal, especially if we're not having sex. So come on. And yet we have to take such a strong sense, a stand against this, because it does allow evil to start seeping into our home and into our marriage. So insisting on wanting better for you and your husband, hoping that he'll join you in the healing process, but that you're going to seek help and counseling no matter what, because you want more for the two of you and for your family. Insist on that, but call him up out of love, out of wanting a better relationship with him.
And tonight I would be saying to him, you just need to know, I was so hurt by what happened. I called, I talked to some people, and this is not okay. And you're going to have to do something to be sure that this gets fixed. And we're going to need to do something so that we're back together again. Think of how it was when we were first dating, the excitement when we were first married. All of that has died. We can get that back. It can be better than that. But it's not going to be if you're not willing to do something, and all you think life is going to be the best is you looking at inappropriate stuff on your phone when I'm not around, or even when I am. We can do better than this. You can do better than this. That's what you say to him. You don't let him think that, well, this was just a minor incident. It was an insult to you, to the marriage, and to God, who wants this marriage to be whole, and it wants you both to be fulfilled.
It is so hard in this culture to know that there is better available.
Yeah.
We just settle. And
we do.
And we can do so much more, and it is so rewarding to have a good marriage.
And we wives need to be cautious too, because even though whatever we do does not justify our husbands using pornography or any sexually inappropriate behavior, but we've got to be careful not to allow our husbands to become too vulnerable because we're withholding sex for inappropriate reasons. We've got to nurture our marriage in that area as well.
Mm-hmm. It all works together. Oh my goodness. And we all think, you know, we're justified in whatever position we're taking here, and we're defensive. But man, if we could just get rid of the defense and try to come together, that's the goal. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Right after.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really, really glad you're with us here today. On Valentine's Day, I'm doing something. Becky and I are facilitating a group right now at the Intimacy and Marriage Weekend documentary being filmed there. It really does work. It's so amazing. And we're excited when all of that filming gets done. We'll let you know how you can view it. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Mitch, Sacramento, California, and he listens on KFIA. Hey, Mitch, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. Thanks for your show. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, what's going on?
So your show with Dr. Amen really is what prompted my call. I've been on antidepressants for well over 30 years, and looking back at my history in my life, I've probably been depressed for over 40. And my physical, a couple months ago, I asked my physician if I was at risk for dementia or Alzheimer's because of long-term antidepressant use, and he said that there's really no evidence that points to that. But I still wonder, if that's a risk, and is it possible to even go off of antidepressants after this long period of time? Because I know the data points to, if you've had multiple depressive episodes, you know, the chances of being able to come off them are pretty slim, and you know, my 17-year-old has just been recently put on antidepressants, so I'm kind of concerned for him. So, you know, I'm just, my question's around, is there a risk of dementia or can you even go off of antidepressants at this point?
Well, first of all, let me say this, because I can't answer for him, but I can tell you that with regard to another person, when the issue of antidepressants came up in this one specific incident, he said, of course, in that case, I would have been for the antidepressant. So my point for you is that the foremost authority on, you know, preserving your brain and having the best brain, you know, his attitude isn't that antidepressants are always horrible for the brain. Whereas I know there are some other medications that he really believes do lead to some poor brain function. And they have nothing to do with depression, anxiety, or any psychotropic medication, but they treat other things. So I have heard him say, I'd rather you have a healthy brain than be on that medication. I'd rather you have a healthy brain and die a year earlier than you would than for this to destroy your brain and you live for 10 more years. So what I'm saying is I've heard him specifically talk about not that there's a specific medication that isn't good for the brain, and I've heard him say that antidepressants in some cases are good for the brain. I don't know if that helps you or not.
Well, the other thing I was going to add too, Mitch, is it sounds to me like it may be a narrow focus on should I be on the antidepressant or not? And there are so many other factors that come into play when we're talking about treatment of depression. It's diet, exercise, Dr. Amen talks about that, as well as sometimes it's medical intervention. And knowing your genetics as well as your predisposition to diseases such as Alzheimer's, but also when you're talking about your son, You know, we talk about adolescents dealing with depression, and you know, a lot of that is in their changing bodies. It's hormones. It's all those kind of things. So it's not really a matter of should I take it or should I not take it. It's literally figuring out what works for you. And I know that Dr. Amen talks about that extensively in all of the work that he does. So it's diet, health, exercise, all the things.
Yeah. Alice, you have a thought?
Well, it also depends on the severity of your depression off the medication. And you may not even know that because you've been on it for so long. But if coming off of it, especially if you're not receiving other forms of ongoing structured treatment, so a therapist, a psychologist, a psychiatrist who have known you and know what this journey looks like for you, because if you raise your risk of suicide, for instance, or the risk of some of the other symptoms of depression, the loss of motivation, the insomnia, the anhedonia, those could be horrific things to deal with if your depression goes into a severe episode. So only make this decision, I would say, with a team that knows you well, taking those risks of depression into account. And on a personal note, I know antidepressants as a psychologist. I know them to be very safe, and I've taken them long-term in my life as well. I'd rather be off of them. And I've gone off and on, but I find myself over and over to be a better version of myself when I'm on the antidepressants than not.
Okay. All right, Mitch, I hope that's helpful to you. I'm going to send you this book, Understanding and Loving a Person Who Has Depression. I'm also going to send you a life recovery workbook and the life recovery Bible, because, you know, I do know this. All of the current research does say that exercise comes out pretty close to being as effective as antidepressant medication with depression. So let's do both. If we need both, let's don't eliminate one, like exercise, which anybody, you got to figure out a way to move whatever you can move. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. Now, when you call that number, we're going to tell you about all sorts of really great stuff, including we've got Restore coming up, the Restore Workshop. It's a time for a woman to heal no matter what the man does. You can restore your life. You can heal. You can experience life in a whole new way. That's what we want for you. It's the Restore Workshop, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, I think there's some room still available on that Rhine River cruise, September 28th. Come join us for that.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. And Larry, I tell you, we do a lot of stuff here. We're talking about being Valentine's Day. There is nothing less romantic than being married to somebody who needs to go to every man's battle. And you were at the last one. Let's talk about that. Because, you know, when you support New Life, you're supporting sexual integrity of these guys. That, I mean, if Every Man's Battle wasn't there, because New Life isn't there, I don't know what they'd do.
Steve, there's two things about Every Man's Battle that just I love. One is that guys walk away getting something different than what they thought they were going to get when they get there. And I ask them that. I mean, I I talk about that early in the thing. I challenge them and say, you're going to get something different. And at the end, I ask, how many got something different? 90% of the hands go up. But one of the things that a lot of them get, and I don't think it's the different part as much, but they get reconnected to God. They find themselves in a situation, and we do an exercise on Saturday night that kind of blows them out of the water, and they find that God loves them, that they didn't do anything so bad or nothing happened to them so bad, that God doesn't want them, and he's been there the whole time. And I love on their surveys and things when they say, I reconnected with God. I understand mm-hmm. that God loves me. And yeah. that's just phenomenal, let alone just the sexual addiction side of it, and mm-hmm. then learning what intimacy is about. It's fabulous. And guys give word and testimony to that every time. If I would have been prepared, I would have found, I don't know if he turned it in, a guy read a testimony about what I was before and what I was after. And it was about 10 different things that he said mm-hmm. before and after. And it was really moving. But I'd also like to real quickly mention the Restore Workshop, which is the other part of the whole experience for couples.
Yeah.
And because it's a week away. And when you're given to New Life Ministries, you are given to help men find their sexual integrity. You're helping women deal with the pain of betrayal and so many other things. But those are just two of the things. And this is what a lady wrote at the end of her workshop at Restore. I was not excited to come here. I have so much social anxiety and dreaded having to talk with strangers in general, let alone about my deepest, darkest pain. I love these women in my small group, and I wish I could bring them all home with me. For the first time since my life crumbled into pieces, I feel validated and understood. Words cannot express how truly amazing that feels. I've had lots of his lies ingrained in my brain, and this has shown me that there are so many more that I thought there were. I need to work them out, but I'm excited to have God help me get through these things.
So, one of my favorite things about that is I've seen that evidenced at the Restore Workshop. That women come in on Friday and they're fearful because they don't know and their trust has been broken, but they quickly find that they are supported, that they're going to find relief for a lot of their pain, and they're going to begin to have a plan moving forward. And I just appreciate all of those who are part of Club New Life and our donors who help us help people find their new life.
Mm-hmm. And if you're one of those women that is not excited to attend, I want you to think about what this lady said. She didn't want to come. She had anxiety. She was dreaded to talking with people, especially strangers. And then she walks out of it feeling all kinds of hope and eagerness to deal with the problems and pain she's had.
Well, they're strengthened.
Yeah.
You know, they know that it's going to be difficult, but they're able to do whatever they need to do to find the restoration process for their lives, for their marriage.
And, you know, if you've never been a part of anything we've done like this, it's so comfortable, you'll just be shocked at how well it will go for you. But you'll also know that if you don't do anything, if you don't take a little bit of a risk, nothing is going to change. And all of you who maybe you don't need a workshop, but you could help us get other people to those workshops, you call us and support us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, please. God bless you for that. Let's go back to the phones. And how about we talk with Livia? Orlando, Florida is where she's calling from. Hi, how you doing? What's going on?
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I'm calling in regards. Hello. I'm calling in regards. I've been married to my husband going on 28 years, and we've been separated for 13 years. We've been separated on and off.
Oh, wow.
And when I did meet him, he had just joined the service, and he did the Desert Storm. And when he came back from war, he was a changed man. It wasn't the same man that I had married.
Really? Did he ever get any help for that at all?
Yes. To this day, he goes to the VA hospital, and he does receive the help. But I'm thinking that that's not helping because he comes home and then he just disappears.
That's so sad.
Like right
Go ahead.
Yeah, like right now we're currently not together. We're not living together. Even though we are married, we're not living together.
Well, what's the big question for us? How could we help you?
Yeah, my question is, we used to go to church in the past, and then we stopped going to church because I guess he wasn't a true believer. And then just last year, he told me that he became a born-again Christian. And then he came back home, and this past December, he came back home. And I was like, okay, great, let's start going to church together. But then he decided he wasn't going to go, even though I was saying I wanted to go with him, you know, go as a couple.
And Livia, when you say he disappears, he literally leaves your home for days or more, and you don't know where he is or what he's doing?
Yes, exactly.
And he's done that multiple times over the years.
Yes, he has. He's done that on and off for the past 13 years.
Is he using any drugs, any alcohol, anything like that?
He drinks on and off, but he doesn't do any kind of drugs.
Does sound like what an alcoholic would do, you know, just to escape and get away.
And what kind of support do you have, Livia?
To be honest with you, I'm going to start counseling next week. I'm going to be going to a counselor because I was hoping that he would come with me to a counselor. But like I said, he ran away. So, and I call and I text him and he does not respond, you know, to any of it.
My heart goes out.
To both of us.
Thank you. I just want to know what I should do because I'm really lost right now.
Yeah. So, do you have any idea when he leaves where he goes? What is it? A friend? Is it just to stay in a hotel far away, or what? Do you have any idea what he's doing?
Oh well, I'm thinking he's not with a friend. I guess he's with people that know people. He doesn't really say where he's at. He doesn't say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not like if I can go and talk to him.
Well, the hard part is, too, because of his military experience, you know, it's really hard. It changes the way that the brain is working. Sounds like he's gotten some help. And unfortunately, it is so difficult for some folks. And my heart goes out to both of you. And, Livia, I think the next step for you, like you're doing, is going to a counselor. I think that's a great idea. And I think... you know, part of this going forward will be to kind of have some sort of resolution of how we're going to do this. You guys have been doing this a long time.
Sure.
And, you know, it's just hard to understand why things are the way they are. But I don't know that you can make sense out of what his experience has been in the military. Alice, you were going to say something.
Well, Livia, it brings to mind for me that in PTSD, there can be different levels of dissociation where a person disappears inside themselves, inside their own mind. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're not cognitively or emotionally present. But there are also there are things called fugue states where people do actually leave, and they're sort of lost in their own world and wherever it is that they go on the inside and on the outside. And it's a possibility that that's part of your husband's post-traumatic stress disorder. So you would want to try to get in touch with the VA to see if you can speak with the people that have counseled him. Now, you'll need his permission to be able to do that. When he returns, I'd ask for that permission and even insist on it. I'm worried for you and your safety, not knowing what he does and what he brings back to your home when he returns. So part of your counseling, as painful as this might be, will have to be strategizing how to protect yourself until you know what's going on, because your heart, possibly your body, you know, may be in some risk or at some danger, not knowing what your husband is doing when he's gone.
And you know, so often in our compassion, we try to move slowly, and we try to understand. We believe it's going to get better, and you know, some of these things, they just don't get better. And so, if he could see a return to that the compassion there, maybe he would be open to some help.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and I'm going to send her Understanding and Loving a Person with Post-Traumatic Stress Syndrome. And I want to be sure all of our listeners know this isn't just something that people that come back from war experience. I mean, you know, you can be post-traumatic stress disordered over anything that happens in the home, and especially in childhood. And this wonderful, wonderful resource can help you, well, help you understand your situation better. But certainly, if you're living with someone or love someone, this will help you be for them the most healthy influence for them possible. Understanding and Loving a Person with Post-Traumatic Stress Syndrome. You can get it by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, I've got time for one final call, and I wish I could get to these others, but let me talk with Marty. Wasilla, Alaska, listens online. Marty, how are you? What's going on in your life today?
So, I'm all right. I appreciate taking the call. Try to keep it short, but so I've been unfaithful to my wife. It's a long story, and I've trying to reconcile with her, trying to change who I am, patterns I have, and I've been doing a lot of reading, done some classes, online videos, and, you know, a bunch of research, trying to understand myself, trying to understand what's gotten me here, and I guess my question is, I'm doing a lot of things, but I don't want them to be just check boxes, and I'm starting to question myself of the things I'm doing. How do I know the things I'm doing are genuine and going to be lasting changes?
Okay, I'm glad you called. Let me ask you a question. The person you had the affair with knows, you know, and your wife knows, right?
Yes, sir.
Who else knows?
So, several men from my church know.
Okay.
There's a small handful of people, friends and church members, family members that know about it.
Okay. And what have they told you would be helpful for you to do?
So, obviously, reconnecting my life with God, being honest and open about everything, and, you know, some of the classes that I've taken, workshops, and I'm doing these things, but what scares me is I've had good intentions in the past to change. And I'm still, I'm worse off now than I was in the past. And so I've got good intentions to change now also, but how do I know they're real and they're going to last and they're not just checking the box?
Right, because we know when we get caught and we feel bad, feel a lot of remorse, we're very motivated to do something, but it doesn't last if it doesn't produce lasting change. And the lasting change that I've seen comes when we go beyond anything you could do online and you get help, and then you follow up with support from a lot of other guys that have been through the same thing, not just, you know, pastors and stuff who have never struggled, but you need the support and the wisdom of other people.
Well, and Steve, you say a lot of times when we're not done with the thing that we won't do what we need to do. or something, some version of that. Mm. But I'm thinking, what I hear you say, Marty, is that you're beginning to doubt that your good intentions are going to work out for you because you've been down this road before. And what we know in recovery is until you hit that wall, mm-hmm. till you get to the bottom, you are not ready to do the work. And so part of recovery work is to continue to do the thing. We talk about relapse recovery. It's not after you've, fallen again. It's the day that you think, you know, I don't need to check this box. I don't need to go to the meeting. I don't need to connect with anybody. I don't need that accountability partner. And I think one of the things that we teach at Every Man's Battle is to find out what is driving the thing.
Mm-hmm. And you know, your despair is really good news that you're feeling like you want something more or you need something more. You're questioning what you're doing. That's really, really good news versus just acting like it's all going to magically work out, right. Which it doesn't.
Marty, you're right not to trust your willpower and the good intentions of your heart because none of us are trustworthy in that area. They're not mm-hmm. sufficient to help us sustain change over the long run. And as Steve was pointing out, you sound like you're heavy on the information gathering. You're learning a lot of good things, but I wonder if you're submitting yourself enough to authority, to relationship, to accountability. You may need to be checking in with those good men at your church on a daily basis for now because your willpower is not sufficient to keep you on the right track. But what you have, Marty, is humility because you're willing to admit that you're on shaky ground, and that willingness is what will allow those men and God to come in and help you where you hit up against your insufficiency.
And here's a big question for you. Is there anybody who said to you, you're not going to be free until you deal with this anger that's down inside of you? Has anybody talked to you about that?
Not put that way, no. Not.
Well, don't you think that would be really important that you deal with this anger that causes you to leave everything else behind and kind of get in this entitled mode that you get in?
Yes. And I don't fully understand it, my lack of self-awareness. And I'm just starting counseling here recently, too. And
mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's
Let me just throw this real quick question to you. If you could name one thing that you've never really resolved that you've been angry about in the past, what would one of those things be?
That's a good question. I don't know how to answer that. I don't know off the top of my head. I don't know what I'm angry about or have been angry about.
Did you have a great relationship with Dad?
I thought I did, but I'm finding out more and more it's not what I thought that was.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other, yeah.
Right,
it's,
so
it's
there's
a whole
right.
other area that you really have to deal with, not just to know it wasn't what it was, but to know what it was, how you reacted, what you feel like you're missing as a result of all that. See, and that's the work that gets you the real progress.
And sometimes when people can't answer the question of what am I angry about, it's because they have a preconceived idea of what anger is. And it doesn't always look like somebody screaming and yelling and stomping
yes.
their feet.
That's right.
And that's where the digging starts. And so, Marty, you know, I'm thinking we're going to send him to Every Man's Battle 2.0 or the 20th anniversary.
We have to send you the book, Every Man's Battle. But, buddy, get to Every Man's Battle.
Yes.
Come to the workshop. Hey, if any of you can help us, support us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll send you this new revised Every Man's Battle book. I bet you know somebody that could benefit greatly from it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.